Our New Testament reading is 1 Corinthians 1:21 through 31. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Seats.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone. I'm up here out of my comfort zone, I can tell you that. I did teach school, a lot of middle schoolers for many years, and I was actually at our worship team Christmas party, and I was telling them I was nervous about it, and they said, well, just act like they're a bunch of middle schoolers. I said, oh, like, have them throw paper wads at me, and Jim Allen was there, and he was, like, taking me serious. I'm a little bit relieved he's in Florida right now, but it really is not particularly my comfort zone, but this is what God is having me do today. Mark, when he asked me to do this, we kind of talked what we could do. He said, well, you could go on and do chapter 17, because we just just jump on in 17 and go into 18, or just go on in Acts. And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. I want to hear Mark preach on. He's been such a blessing, and I've learned so much from him in the book of Acts, that I want him to do that. So I thought I'd just go back and, as mentioned, look at some characters, do a character study. We can learn much from characters. We can learn how to imitate those who are good and how to prevent doing the same thing that those characters that were bad. But I'm going to do a little different twist. I'm going to do a character study on a few of the lesser-known characters that we've already went through. So it's going to really be a review. All these people have been mentioned, but perhaps not as much as I'm going to talk about them today and draw some observations and lessons learned from that for our new year. Obviously, the main characters are Peter and Paul in the book of Acts, and much is given about them. Let's see if we can get everything going here. There we go. Are we up? Okay. All right, I think we can go from here. So I chose this verse because I wanted to start out with the idea that God does use lesser characters. In fact, that's who he mainly uses, actually. Now, I mean not lesser, like lesser importance or anything, but just lesser known, and not, as it says up here, powerful, noble birth. But God uses just regular people to confound them because the glory goes to him. And so we're going to be looking at a few of them, but we're also going to look at some characters that aren't so great as well. So the title of my message, as I mentioned, it must be much about God and little about us. He needs to get the glory. After all, that's what it says, let one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So we will, as we do this, we'll review the story. We'll go over it, and I have some video clips we'll show to perhaps make it a little more interesting. And we'll make some observations from that, and then we'll determine the lesson we can learn from it, kind of make a concise little lesson point that we can learn from each of these stories. So hopefully you'll walk away from here and be challenged by the lives of some of these characters, the story of some of these characters. So I'm titling it Lesson Learned from the Lesser Mentioned, and it's a study of minor characters in the book of Acts. So before we go on, let me pray for us, please. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are in control of all. I thank you for the book of Acts and the characters there. I thank you for Peter and Paul, but I thank you for all the other characters and stories surrounding them, Lord. May we learn from them. May we learn from those characters that have made mistakes and learn from those who seek and trust you, Father. So I just ask your blessings on this message today. May your words be the words that are made known this morning. For it's your name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, so let's look at the first character here. The lesson learned from the man who was second. Now, have you ever been second? You ever been not chosen? I'm telling you, I'm not an athletic person. You guys all realize that. And, you know, I went to four different high schools, and I was kind of the shy kid in the PE class, and there I was, the last one. Nobody knew me. I was the last one chosen almost all the time. There's a lot of instances where at work you've applied for a position, and somebody else got the job. So oftentimes we don't get what we want. So there is a man I think all of you probably know, and that's Joseph. He's also called Barsabbas. He was the one who was up for the position to replace Judas. So let's look at it. We're going to kind of look at the settings on each of these. I keep looking up there, but I got it right here. The replacement of Judas. I think I'm in a classroom, so. So it's, let's get the foundation here of the replacement of Judas. We see that Judas is gone. Okay, Peter says here, in verse 24, said, Peter, is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell it, and may another take his leadership. So Judas is gone. He needs a replace. We don't want 11 disciples. We want 12 disciples. And this is what God intended for them to do. So Peter's up there talking. This is the need. We need another disciple, another apostle. And so the job requirements come next. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us in the whole time, the Lord Jesus, went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. So the job requirement was that it had to be somebody. Obviously, there were a lot of people around, and during the ministry there, besides just the 12, and so the person had to be there since the start. Most feel the start of Jesus' ministry was at his baptism and that whole time, and also witnessed the resurrection. That is actually his job description. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. That is the epicenter of it. Every message was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he had to be a witness of that. So let's look at a story. Let's make some observations here. First of all, two men were possible candidates. All right? There may have been others, but they narrowed it down to these two men. Both men had been with the apostles during most of Christ's ministry. Both were equally qualified, so much so that they couldn't figure out who to choose. And so they cast lots, and it's just sort of like flipping a coin, drawing straws, probably not rock, paper, scissors, though. But they were going to trust. Now, did you notice? They prayed first, and they were trusting God for the results. And so it was a hard decision. Matthias was chosen. Joseph was not. So both are only mentioned here. You don't hear about any of them in Scripture anymore. There's some church traditions about Matthias, but not much. And and none that I know of Joseph. So this is that story that we see here. So some thoughts and feelings that Joseph could have had, he didn't really, but I'm thinking in more of my terms, if I put my feet in his sandals, these things might have come in mind. Self-questioning, you know, was I not good enough? You might have thought that when you weren't chosen. Was it something I said in the interview? You might question others. I was more qualified than Matthias. Those apostles, they don't know what they're doing. Or you might have relief. Whew, I didn't want that job anyway. I'm glad I didn't get chosen. We know none of these was with Joseph. He's a godly man, and he trusted. He knew his position with God. And he certainly, I think it was an honor for him to even be chosen. He probably was feeling that way and probably ministered alongside those men anyway in the future. So what's the lesson we learn from Joseph? You may not always be selected for important positions in life, but you can accept the position God has for your life. Okay, just remember that. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean we don't try to improve our position or what have you, but be satisfied where God has put you now. All right. Okay, that's the next one. Let's move on. The lesson we learned from the one who rejoiced. Have you ever received something and it was a surprise and just brought great joy? It's Christmas time. Maybe some of you did. Raise your hand, anybody? Got something they were excited about? Well, good. Good. We all get excited about some special things that we get. I remember Deb gave me a Christmas gift, and I was totally surprised. Usually I can kind of figure it out a little bit. I opened it up, and there was a jackalope. Yeah, it really was. And it wasn't one of those fake ones. It was a real rabbit's head with antlers on it. And I was excited about it. Put it in my classroom. I got a lot of mileage out of that. Okay. But anyway, we got one here that had the greatest joy. Let's look at him. Of course, that's a crippled beggar. Let's look at the setting. Peter and John are going to the temple. They're heading up their way. On the way, they met a man, a lame man. He was lame from birth. He was begging at the gate called Beautiful. He's asking for money there. And he asked, let's make some observations, okay? The crippled beggar was walking. Man, that's a miracle right there. More than that, he's leaping. I bet he did that. He's praising God, of course. And then when people saw what was going on, they were full of wonder and they were amazed. So a great testimony of God's healing power here brought focus on him. Let's kind of take a little challenge here. When God blesses you, show it and share it. And then here's some questions. We can just maybe reflect on this question a little bit. Were you not filled with wonder and amazement when you were healed of your sin? Okay, the lost world sees this as a mystery. They look at it and they see life's change and they wonder, what in the world is going on here? But you know, as a believer, we see his majesty. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's the lesson? We got to get it down concise here. Learn the lesson from the crippled beggar. Rejoice and show what God has done for you. So, it's a great lesson for us all. Okay, our next one, the lesson learned from the couple that misled. Now, this is more of a negative example here, but we can learn lessons from that. My page turned here. So, the setting here, this is, of course, with Ananias and Sapphira, and the setting here actually starts at the end of chapter 4 with Barnabas, which was an example of proper giving. So that was the whole idea. And then Sapphira in chapter 5 will be an example of improper giving. But Barnabas, he'd sold some properties. He apparently had some land up at Cyprus, and he did a land deal, I guess, and he got some money from it, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, example of improper giving. Ananias and Sapphira also had property, and they sold it and laid some of the proceeds at the apostles' feet. So there is a direct comparison here in Scripture between these two givings. Problem is, Ananias and Sapphira, if you remember what Mark was talking about, they were just weren't honest. They were given the impression that they were going to give, they were gave it all. They didn't have to give any of it. If they just said, we sold some property, we want to give the church, here's 10% of it or whatever, that wouldn't have been a problem. But they were lying with that. So note, as we view this story, the video here, it is important to understand that giving, when we give to the Lord, it's actually part of our worship. It is worshiping God when you give. All right? So let's look at the video clip of this. Oh, I need to mention, too, that it's not going to actually reenact the story. It's going to reenact Luke telling people the story. Okay, the whole plot of this, Luke is on this whole video series. Luke's on a ship, and he's dictating to his scribe, and he's writing it down, and sometimes they just show him speaking. Older folks that are wondering, the answer is yes. That is Dean Jones playing Luke. Remember the Herbie series? That's who that is. He became a believer, and he's done a great job in this. Looks a little scary. All right. Some observations. All right, we see both good and bad examples of giving in this story. The church was purified. We'll see that in a minute. It says, a great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And the church grew as well. It seems contradictory when you look at 13 and 14. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And then it said, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, and multitudes of both men and women. So basically what you're seeing here is the purification of the church. Nobody dared join them that weren't true believers, because the ones that weren't true believers were scared to death, all right? So they wouldn't join them. There was great benefits to belong to the church. Thousands of people were joining, and many of the needs were met of the people there. And people were bringing money, and then they distributed as needed. So I think maybe, I'm just sort of thinking this, I don't know, but it kind of got a country club attitude, and people were just joining for the benefits. Well, they weren't now, okay? So that was the purification. That was the results. The church grew. So what is the lesson we learned from Ananias and Sapphira? Be truthful or real in your worship. Be truthful and real in your worship. Okay, let's go to the lesson learned from a Pharisee. All right? And that would be Gamaliel in Acts 5:33-39. And Mark, you know, talked about Gamaliel quite a bit. We're going to look back over and maybe learn more of a pointed lesson directly from him. Here's the setting. Peter and the apostles are standing before the council. Now, just before this is the setting to the setting, they were preaching, they put them in jail, then an angel overnight put the jailer in a trance, I guess, and they went back out, and they didn't make a break for it. They went back out to the temple and preached. And so they went and got him and brought him back. And Paul, they told him, why are you doing this? And Paul, those famous words, we must obey God rather than men. Well, that just got all the council all upset. And they were enraged and wanted to kill him. Well, in comes Gamaliel. He begins to speak. Let's look at Gamaliel a little bit. Gamaliel was a teacher of the law, Pharisee. He was honored by all the people. He was the same Gamaliel who was the head of the rabbinical school that Saul went to. Later in Acts, in one of his testimonies, he tells those listening, he says, I was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. He also talked about being head of the class. He was summa cum laude of his class. And so I'm sure Saul's right there. But at any rate, this is that Gamaliel. So he was well respected. Now you must understand, he was no friend of believers, of Christ followers. He would want to put them to death, but his wisdom overtook, at this moment at least, and look at some observations here. Learn two important truths. If our activities are human origin, they are of no use. You're just wasting your time. And then, if our purposes are and activities are of God, then we will not be stopped. All right? Note, it does not necessarily mean we will have long life, but it does mean we will have a fulfilled life. We see that in Stephen, don't we? All right? Well, let's see what our little point is here. Learn the lesson from Gamaliel. Make sure your purpose and activities are of godly origin. Okay, let's go to the next one. The lesson learned from one with the wrong motives. This is another negative one. It's Simon the sorcerer there in Acts chapter 8. So here's the setting. Many people were being saved up in the city of Samaria. That's in the region of Samaria, which is north of Judea, which is where Jerusalem's at. So it's nearby, but it's not close to Jerusalem particularly. We've heard the story of the Good Samaritan and woman at the well and all. This is the city of Samaria. Simon, a popular sorcerer, believed and was baptized. That's all it says. He believed and was baptized. Peter then came to check it out, the whole what was going on. They heard down there that all that was going on there in Samaria, and people come. Some observations. Something perfectly good can become evil if your motives are wrong. There's nothing wrong with desire to have the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's everything right with that. Simon's, he wanted it for personal gain. I didn't want to go there yet. Let me talk about that in just a minute. He wanted to buy it. Boy, that was a mistake to say that in front of Peter. That's where we get the word, by the way. Simony, you heard that word? It's an old term. Most of you probably haven't heard of it, but that means you're trying to pay for influence from the church. That's what simony is. And it's believed, at least Irenaeus, he was second century, one of our second century church fathers, believed that he was the same as who Simon Magnus was, who was considered the founder of Gnosticism. Justin Martyr, he was first century, he was also a second century. Church fathers believed he was a heretic, so he probably really truly didn't accept Christ and what have you, but we really don't know. But anyway, let's go on to this next point. We must continually check our motives to make sure they're pure. So those are observations. It was David's prayer, and we should pray this all the time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay. So learn the lesson from Simon the sorcerer. Make sure your motives are pure. Make sure your motives are pure. The lesson learned from the one ready to witness. That's our next one, and this will be Philip. The setting for it. Philip was one of the chosen seven. Remember, back in chapter 6, he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He was in Samaria when an angel told him to go down to the Gaza Road. So Gaza Road is a road from Jerusalem down to the Sea of Gaza on the lower coast. So he's going like southwest. He encounters an Ethiopian reading the lessons on this one. Philip was led by the Holy Spirit. Three times it's mentioned. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, that's when he said, told him to go down to the road of Gaza. And in verse 29, that's when he told the Spirit of and the Spirit said to Philip, and that's when he told him to go stand by and talk to the Ethiopian. And we didn't get to verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. That's when he was transported from that, after baptizing the Ethiopian, to another place. So Philip was led by the Holy Spirit. We saw that. Philip took advantage of the opportunities placed before him. He knew Scripture, and he knew how to tell others the good news. Now, could you do that? I always point out to my students, if you sat down beside somebody in an airplane, and they were reading their Bible, and they were reading Isaiah chapter 53, which is all about Christ, and they turned to you, I'm having a hard understanding. Do you know anything about the Bible, about this verse? Man, what an opportunity. It's like, whoa, Nelly, I got a chance here to speak to this guy. And so would you be able to do that? Would you be able to take that very scripture and show how it shows Christ and lead that person to the Lord? So then Philip, he knew how to tell others, and Philip opened his mouth, beginning with scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus, saying he led the Ethiopian to the Lord. So preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. So be ready is the point. So this is be prepared. We'll kind of review it again. Be led by the Spirit. Ask God to lead you. Take the opportunities. Know Scripture. Know how to tell others the good news. All right? So to make a single little point here, learn the lesson from Philip. Look for every opportunity and be prepared to take it. Look for every opportunity. We're talking about the gospel here, obviously. Take every opportunity to take it. Okay, our last one is a lesson learned from the hesitant man. This is the story of Ananias. This is a different Ananias, obviously, in Acts 9, 10 through 18. The setting is here. Saul was heading to Damascus to persecute believers. He got letters from the church down there, or not the church, but the temple down in the leadership down in Jerusalem. He's not satisfied with persecuting them just around that area. He's heading up to Damascus. He's going to take care of them up there too. And on the way, you guys know the story. Saul was blinded by the Lord, and the men traveling with him took him to Damascus, on up to Damascus. They weren't too far out. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink. So he's pretty disturbed over all this. There was a disciple there in Damascus named Ananias. So let's look at this last question here. Ananias was listening to God, obviously. All right, God spoke to him. He was prepared. He was hesitant. I don't blame him. I mean, he actually told the Lord. He was saying, God, this guy's coming to kill us. You want me to go? You know? And God says, go. If you read the NIV, it's exclamation mark. And I always thought, it's like one of my kids, I'd tell him, take the trash out. And they don't. And you're going to need to take the trash out. It's starting to stink. And finally, he just said, go. It needs to get out of here. So I don't know if that's the way it was, but I can't help but think that, okay? He delivered a life-changing, he did what God told him. He delivered a life-changing prophecy to Saul, and this was life-changing. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is the chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So it wasn't totally good news in a sense, but it was a directive for Saul, soon to become Paul, and it launched the whole ministry that is shown in Acts from chapter 13 on, actually. So that was the last of our stories. So let's just go back and maybe do a little review. Well, we got to learn our lesson. When God calls, listen and go. When God calls, listen and go. We'll review over all these. So I challenge you kind of in a conclusion and challenge together as we launch into 2023 to look at these stories from the lesser mentioned in Acts and apply these points as we go throughout the year and ask God to help us to do that. Let's just review them real quick. Joseph, you may not always be selected for important positions in life, but you can accept the position God has for your life. And from the crippled beggar, I love this one. This is great. Rejoice and show what God has done for you. And then Ananias, Sapphira, be truthful in your worship. Gamaliel, make sure your purposes and activities are of godly origin. Simon the sorcerer, make sure your motives are pure. Philip, look for every opportunity and be prepared to take it, as far as giving the gospel. And lastly, Ananias, when God calls, listen and go. So may God bless you all in the future here in 2023 as we seek and challenge to live for him throughout this coming year. Let us pray, please. Father, we thank you for your word and how it can speak to us. Help us be challenged by these stories and the lesson that we can learn from them. We thank you, Lord, that we're not at this alone. And we do pray that we can have the power of the Holy Spirit, not for personal gain, but for the glory of God, for the glory of you, Lord, and that we can proclaim the gospel with power and boldness, as many of these characters that we've read about in Mark has talked about throughout Acts, and that you've given us in your word that Luke has written for us by your inspiration. We just thank you for that challenge, and help us to live, to love, and to serve you, Lord. And we ask your protection and blessings on us as we go through the year. I know there'll be many exciting things happening, and probably many things that are a real struggle for us. And I just pray that you'll be with us throughout this year. And we commit this day and the rest of this year to you. For it's your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.